Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Monday morning, KSJE. It is time for our Monday reboot segment. And joining me on the telephone is Lewis Campbell from Synergy Computer Systems in Farmington. Lewis, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I am alive. How are you?
That's good. That's good. I want to talk a little bit about what's going on with Bitcoin this morning. Have you seen that story? There was an alleged hack at... let's see, I'm trying to get the story here, but the Bitcoin value of Bitcoin kind of crashed a little bit this morning.
Well, you know, we've got to expect that to happen now and then. It's no matter how secure the blockchain is, people are still going to hack stores of Bitcoin, and when that happens, I mean, the whole point of Bitcoin is to allow people to have a currency that's not controlled by anybody, so... Basically, if you get a hold of somebody's Bitcoin, there's no way to get that back.
Right. And I think that's some of the concern about maybe the volatility of the value of Bitcoin and how, you know, it's kind of hard to put a value on it, like maybe gold or platinum or other things that maybe we consider more valuable. I don't know. But
That's the opposite of platinum, everything else. The value of credit is hard to put a value. I mean, so right now the United States dollar is basically based on credit, so it's hard to put a value on that. But when we were based on the gold standard, platinum, whatever, that was based on supply and demand.
Right.
And Bitcoin kind of brings that back because what gives Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies their value is supply and demand. It's really difficult to generate Bitcoin. So the more you generate, you build the supply, the higher the demand, so forth and so on. The only reason that these things have an effect on the value of Bitcoin is that every time something like this happens, it spooks the market, right? And
right.
So that kind of affects the value, but it's really a blip in the value. It's not, you know, it's not a fundamental change.
Right. And I'm finding the story now here that I wanted to quote from, this is from Gizmodo, but it's elsewhere too. Word over the weekend that South Korean Bitcoin exchange called CoinRail was hacked, and that affected the value of Bitcoin. That's still today. The story says roughly $42 billion of market value was destroyed in the Bitcoin sell-off, and it's lost over 50% of its worth since December. So that was
right.
The kind of the specifics I was looking for. But anyway, as you mentioned, this is kind of this new world of what we're talking about, right? Where these things could be very volatile. And so if folks are trying to, I guess, get rich quick, that usually doesn't work all that well.
Right. And the volatility, again, look at what happened. So it's analogous to a bank robbery, right? So every time there's a hack, it's the same thing as somebody were to break into a bank and steal money. The problem here is that because it's a cryptocurrency and it's, you know, very easily moved around and it's electronic, these are huge banks and there's a lot of money in them. So when there's a hack, there's massive amounts of money that's stolen. That's the difference. In the old days with regular, you know, gold-based currency, whatever, somebody broke into a bank and sold money, it was never a huge percentage of the money in circulation. Nowadays, when this happens, it's not a huge percentage, but it's a much bigger percentage. And, of course, the world is still, you know, people are still nervous about cryptocurrency, and so it's a much bigger effect. And so look at what actually affected the value of the Bitcoin. It wasn't the hack. It was the sell-off immediately after the hack. So somebody hacked, they stole all this money, they broke into the bank, they stole the money, then everybody else heard about that and freaked out, and there was this massive sell-off. Again, it was supply and demand.
Interesting.
So people had a sell-off, and the value went down.
Okay.
You know, as time goes on, we have to see whether that kind of thing continues. are whether people get more comfortable with Bitcoin and are less reactive to those kinds of bank robberies, and also whether security improves like it did with, you know, regular currency, and we see less and less of these big bank heists, if you want to call them that, and whether cryptocurrency exchanges, you know, become better at doing things like not only protecting themselves, but keeping less cryptocurrency. I mean, that's one of the things that banks did. So nowadays, if you have a bank robbery, a real bank robbery, you're not going to get away with very much money because banks
right.
went to the point where they don't keep currency in any individual place, you know, very much in any individual place. And so we'll have to see if that follows suit.
True. Very interesting. And one other story I wanted to mention this morning is from The Verge, and it's talking about in-display fingerprint sensor. So this would be just on the screen of your phone, I guess, not just a button on your phone, to I guess, identify your fingerprint to then unlock the device. And they're saying that these are new and the prototypes are started up and they actually work. So that would be kind of cool.
Yay. Another way to get around passwords, right?
Right. I mean, we're seeing, right. you know, what some of the new phones can unlock by looking at your face, right? Facial recognition.
Yeah, facial recognition, fingerprints.
Fingerprints.
And,
is that a good thing or a bad thing as far as security goes? I mean, are they fairly secure?
Well, fingerprint scanner, a lot of biometric scanners have been tested to be defeatable or fakeable.
Okay.
So we'd have to see whether this new one, how good it is quality wise. In the cybersecurity world, we still believe very highly in what's called multi-factor authentication, which is basically where the thing, you know, where it takes like something you know and something you have. So like a password and then a token, you know, one of those things where you type in your password and then it'll like send your phone a code. Of course, if you're
right.
trying to unlock
sure.
your phone, that doesn't really work.
No.
But, you know, things like that where you have to do two things to get in, basically.
I see. That's the safest way. Got it.
That's the safest way, yeah. Security questions don't really work.
Right.
Those things like, you know, what's your mother's maiden name? Those are not. Really
moving away from those. Interesting. All right.
Yeah.
Well, Lewis, thanks so much. We are out of time, but thank you for being with us this week.
All right.
Have a good week.
Have a great week, everybody.
All right, you too. That's Lewis Campbell from Synergy Computer Systems, my guest every Monday on our Monday Reboot Technology segment here on KSJE Farmington. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at KSJE.com.